Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk, talking about tonight's 3-0 defeat of the Winnipeg Jets at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. Gentlemen, before we get started talking about tonight's contest, I have to read this email I got from Jason. Jason's in Kentucky. Of course, near and dear to my heart. Big fan of Illegal Curve in Kentucky. Just a coincidence. I don't know Jason. It just so happens that he's a Jets fan in Kentucky. For those of you just joining us, my wife from Kentucky as well. Hey, Drew, had to let you know, today's podcast, as in today's Illegal Curve hockey show, was the funniest one I think I've ever listened to. Some good zingers on Ezra. Well done. LOL. Well, thank you, Jason, for that feedback. And frankly, I hope that this evening's show is as funny as this morning's show was, because there's not a lot to talk about from what happened tonight with the Winnipeg Jets. A pretty poor performance by the hometown team.
Yeah, and we should also mention that anytime we get an email from Kentucky, we are obligated, because your wife is from Kentucky, that we are legally obligated to read that on air. So I just wanted to get that in there. That was not a very good performance from the Jets guys, especially that second period. And, you know, we talked about it on this morning show, like the Oilers are the one team in the North Division that have caused the Jets a lot of headaches. And we know why. I mean, it starts with Connor McDavid. It starts with Leon Draisaitl. And, you know, that pass that was made to Jesse Puljujarvi on the goal that put the Oilers up 2-0, right? Like Kyle Connor, obviously, you know, that was ill-advised. You know, I mean,
he went for a skate.
Well, and again, it's not all on Connor there, right? Like it's never, usually most goals are not all on one player, but I mean, Puljujarvi is just completely wide open, Dave. It's like my dad used to say, he had enough time to make a sandwich, right? So, I mean, give the Oilers credit. And we talked about Mike Smith with Harna Ryan Singh this morning. Like, he gets the shutout. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the hardest night for him, right? But, you know, he made the saves when he needed to, right? Scheifele had, you know, the really good opportunity in tight on the power play, right? So, I mean, there were chances, but, like, you know, when you break down, and we're going to get into the high danger chances and some of the advanced stats, but, you know, they did not favor the Jets tonight. Like, the Jets
high just, danger chance, singular, one. Well, that's
exactly.
One, like, right there, that one little number.
It's unbelievable, Drew. Like, you know, this Jets team, you know, going into this game, right, they win 4 of 5 on the road. You're thinking they're going into a nice little break here. They're going to have, you know, 4 days between games. They've got the Leafs coming up. You're coming off a very impressive win over the Leafs. So you're thinking, you know, the Jets want to, you know, continue to separate themselves from the Oilers. The Oilers were 5 points back of the Jets with a couple of games in hand. Now they're only 3 behind the Jets. And we know there's a really good chance that these two teams are going to play in the playoffs, guys. But, that was... I would hope that most guys in that dressing room are very disappointed in the way they played tonight.
And as he just to quickly add, 3 points behind with 2 games in hand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is an Oilers team that you've had no success against this season. 2-5-0 right now, I think, in the season series. Final 2 games will be the final 2 games of this 5-game homestand for the Jets. Again, I'm not diminishing the fact that they didn't play a good game tonight, because I don't think they played a good game tonight. But I think that I also said, if they lose, I don't think it's cause for the world ending, because you're coming off a 4-1-0 road trip. And again, as cliche as it sounds, it's what every coach will always tell you, is that the first game of a homestand after a long road trip is going to be a tough one. But I don't care, because again, like I said, to me, it's those 2 games against those back-to-back games against Edmonton and this homestand. I think that will be a real important kind of barometer to see how these two teams match up, as opposed to this one off where you had an Oilers team off for 6 days and you've had a Jets team again. So it's a little, and again, I'm not making excuses for the Jets. Jets didn't play a good game. The only thing about the Jets, I thought, was their PK. Obviously they did give up goals on the PK. They had killed the first 3, and then they finally the fourth one. So the point is, you give up 4 in a row, and it's, you know, when you have Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl on the power play, boys, I mean, you're eventually, you can only play with fire so long before you get burnt. I don't have a fireplace above me, but if I did, I'm sure it would be roaring hot for the amount of, you know, chances those guys get on a power play.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I just think the Jets gave the Oilers too many chances, right? There were 3 in a row in the second.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that penalty by Ehlers in the third period, that's just so uncharacteristic. And I thought Ehlers actually had, a really good game. There obviously weren't as many scoring chances as you would like, but that's just a penalty Ehlers just doesn't take a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I mean, I wasn't surprised that the Jets sort of started off slowly and that the first period was, you know, the Connor Hellebuck show for the Winnipeg Jets. Jets certainly fortunate to be tied, you know, 0-0 after the first period. You know, how many, you know, grade A saves did Hellebuck make in that first mm-hmm. period? Probably three breakaways in that first period that I can sort of recall off the top of my head. So he's the best player for the Jets. And then what's the most troubling part, I mean, again, troubling with a bit of a, in quotes, or a bit of an asterisk, is that there was no push from the Jets at all. Yeah. And, you know, the second period, you didn't see anything. It really did, and I know this is an excuse, and I'm not excusing them, but the fact that they had no push at all is not characteristic of this Jets team this season. It really does, to me, look like a team that had just nothing in the tank for tonight. Now, why they had nothing in the tank for tonight, or why the coach doesn't find a way to inject some energy into the lineup, that's probably for Paul Maurice and the coaching staff and the leaders in that room to have a discussion about, to see why nothing worked, to see why there was nothing, why they were so loose all game long, why they were unable to generate any offense at all. And I know that the Oilers, when they have a lead, 2-0, 3-0, are a pretty good team at shutting things down, because that's Dave Tippett's style. He is good at doing that. I mean, you remember when he had his most success with the, I guess they were the Phoenix Coyotes back in the day. Well, they would get a 1-0 lead, and then they wouldn't do anything for the rest of the game, and they played mind-numbingly dull hockey, but effective. But the fact that the Jets couldn't generate anything at all offensively when it was 0-0, when it was 1-0, that to me is what should be probably more concerning for Paul Maurice, more concerning for the coaching staff, more concerning for the leadership group in the room coming off of what had been a very successful road trip.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points there, Drew, because it would be
one in that thing. Case, I'm leaving. That's it. That's all I got for you.
No, but you know what I mean, Drew? Like, it would be one thing if the Jets had a lot of good high danger chances. I know we talk about the high danger chances a lot, but they just weren't there tonight, guys. Like, they just didn't generate enough offense off the rush, off the cycle, down low, on the power. Even the power plays, like, I thought, you know, the Jets moved the puck around pretty well, and they had some, you know, a few good looks, but it just wasn't. And again, I know people are going to say, you know, Blake Wheeler's not out there, but I think Mason Appleton's actually looked really nice on the first power play unit. So I don't think it's a lack of talent. Appleton's having a great year. I just don't think it was, and this has been a pattern against this Oilers team. What do the Jets have? I think it's 5 goals in the last 4 games against Edmonton, right? So right now, like, they have to figure this out. They only have 2 more games coming up against the Oilers, but there's a really good chance this is who you're going to face. So I agree with you, Drew, and I think you have to give the Oilers a little bit more credit. Like, Oscar Klefbom is arguably their best defenseman. He's been out for basically the whole season, They're not going to have him for the playoffs. But, like, I really like Darnell Nurse. I think Ethan Bear is a very underrated defenseman. I thought he looked really good. He had a scoring chance in the first period. Like, he's a guy that can throw his weight around. He also took a penalty, but you know, I thought also Caleb Jones, both those guys, by the way, were late draft picks in the 2015 draft, Dave. And, you know, this Oilers team, I think, is not getting enough credit aside from McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins. Don't get me wrong. I think the Jets can absolutely beat the Oilers, but it is a little bit, you know, disconcerting when, you know, Scheifele, Dubois, Paul Stastny, like, I thought Kyle Connor, Nick Ehlers were the two best Jets forwards. Like, I thought they were the only ones that were really a threat to score on the ice. Another thing I wanted to put out there also is I thought that was probably Lowry, Appleton, and Perreault's best game in a while. I thought, you know, at times on the road trip, you know, they weren't, having enough zone time and creating enough offense. So I thought Lowry was really noticeable tonight, guys, throwing his weight around. You know, he, of course, has that, contract extension bump. But, aside from that, I mean, it just wasn't a very good game. And that's not how you want to go into a break against a team that you know there's a good chance you're going to face in the playoffs, Dave.
No, not at all. And again, like I said, just when you need scoring, those big dogs have to step up. So where was Mark Scheifele? Where was Kyle Connor? Where was Nikolai Ehlers? Where was Pierre-Luc Dubois? who needs to pick up his game. I thought he just wasn't playing hard tonight. I thought a lot of times he looked almost laissez-faire, and he just didn't look, I don't know, invested maybe is, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but I just didn't see hard enough on the puck Pierre-Luc Dubois. I didn't see physical enough Pierre-Luc Dubois. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois left me wanting more after tonight's game. I didn't think it was a particularly good effort from him this evening. And look, Paul Maurice was jumbling his lines a little bit, trying to get something going. Nothing was really working for these guys. I thought the fourth line had jump. I thought the fourth line was generating some chances, trying to get some things going. I thought Jansen Harkins. Oh, thanks, John. I thought Jansen Harkins was playing, you know, well. And Andrew Copp made an interesting comment today in the pregame media availability, talking about a guy like Jansen Harkins would be in the lineup, you know, if the Jets, you know, on a lot of teams, and essentially said, and I agree with that comment also, because you know, mm-hmm. Mike Smith is just too good with the puck that you just can't, because he kills plays himself. Well, but anyways, all I was going to say is, like, in a game where you're matching up, and Murat had this stat, I think, when the Scheifele line goes up against the McDavid line, I think there it's like 8-1 in terms of goals for. So not a good record when you're going head to head, and it's that poor.
I don't understand the logic of Paul Maurice in trying to match up the Scheifele line against the McDavid line. I mean,
I agree with you 100%.
I think his
mindset.
That's
not the matchup you want.
No, I think his mindset as well. We can put our best offensive line and maybe we'll get some zone time against them. Well, frankly, McDavid and Draisaitl are better offensively than whomever the Jets are putting out there. Doesn't matter any line, really. McDavid and Draisaitl are going to be better offensively. So you need to put out a shutdown line, a defensive line that can prevent them from being as dominant as they are. When McDavid and Draisaitl see Mark Scheifele come over the boards, they're licking their lips. I mean, Scheifele, for all of his offensive talent, is still not a good defensive player. So there's no win possibility there for Paul Maurice on a regular basis, or for the Jets on a regular basis there. Scheifele just isn't good enough to play against McDavid because he's not good enough defensively. And he's a step behind McDavid offensively because everybody in the NHL, everybody in the world is a step behind Connor McDavid offensively. So Mark Scheifele might want that challenge, but frankly, he's just not good enough defensively to warrant that challenge. And you know, very few people are. But if you're going to put if you have last change and you want to match McDavid and Draisaitl up against somebody, pick your best defensive centerman, and that's who goes up against them. Absolutely. You're not going to win offensively against them, and I don't know why I know that, but the Jets head coach seems to think differently.
Well, and I mean, when you consider that, you know, this isn't just one game, right? Like, we've talked about this. The Jets have lost 5 games now against the Oilers, right? And I agree with you, Drew, and I wonder if it's because you have Dubois playing on the wing that he was a little bit hesitant to have that matchup, because you saw it earlier in the game, right? Like, you saw the Stastny line a little bit. I don't remember how many shifts it was. And obviously, you had the Lowry line. And so you wonder, because Kopp is up on that second line, you wonder if that's because that's why, pardon me, you know, that matchup, and also the fact that the Jets were chasing the game and they weren't creating a lot of offense, Dave, right? That's why you probably, you know, wanted the Scheifele line out there again. But yeah, absolutely, Drew. I think you want the Lowry line, you know, whether that's Lowry, Kopp, Appleton, Lowry, Perreault, Appleton. I think he's your shutdown center. That's your shutdown line. And when Blake Wheeler's back in the lineup, I mean, I think there's a good chance you will see, you know, Lowry, Kopp, Appleton reunited, and that could be the line that Paul Maurice turns to. But yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you're right. I mean, Connor McDavid, he's having his best year in the NHL. I mean, every time I watch McDavid, and I'm not alone, I imagine, you know, everybody that we have, you know, listening to our show and you guys, like, just watching him, like, you're looking at one of the best players to ever play hockey, right? Like, I've said this to you guys before. I think, you know, when all is said and done, he might go down as maybe the second or third best player. Maybe he's even in that conversation for number one, and we know who number one is. But the way he plays hockey, super freak is whatever you want to call him, super whatever. He's incredible, and he has the ability, if the puck is on his stick, good things usually happen, and he has the opportunities, the chances, basically, you know, all ends of the ice, you know, and he can just, you know, turn on those wheels. So the Jets are going to have to figure this out, because they haven't been good enough against Edmonton.
They certainly have not been. Saturday night, good evening to everybody joining us. You're watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Jets dropping a 3-0 defeat to the Edmonton Oilers. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk is in the top right corner. Ezra Ginsberg is below us. Nice to see so many of you. Nice to see so many familiar faces. Nice to see some new faces as well. We like that the chat is going hard, going strong. Nice to see the back and forth. All we ask of everyone, ring the bell. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already done so. That's how you know when we go live each and every time with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That comes on Saturday mornings. And, of course, the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. That happens after every Winnipeg Jets game.
So Drew, that's I thought we agreed that it was smash the subscribe button, not ring the bell. Because I think a lot of people don't know what, like, where's the bell? How do you ring the bell? Like, we're not boxing match here.
There's
a bell on the screen on the YouTube channel. We're not on the YouTube channel. We're using different technology that feeds
there is a bell. YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, there's
a bell. One of those small little bells?
I feel like a bell just went over as his head. I think that's what I just saw, the bell.
I'll tell you what. Here's a stat that should really sum up everything about tonight's game.
You want to ring my bell, Drew, I think.
On a regular basis. That's not news at this point in time whatsoever. From Jason Greger of TSN 1260.
I just saw that.
The Dominic Calhoun, Gaetan Haas, Kyler Yamamoto line. Some decent players, but nobody that. Yeah, not good, Ezzy. Matched up mainly against Scheifele. They dominated the Scheifele line with an 85% Corsi 4 and 100% at Fenwick 4. I mean, you know, the Jets no-show tonight. We've discussed that. And it was the Jets' best players, especially, you know, Mark Scheifele, who was at the head of the class in terms of the no-show. Dave, you said Pierre-Luc Dubois no-showed as well. No argument whatsoever. Everything about the Jets' effort tonight, everything about the Jets' game tonight was just lacking. I mean, time and time again, you saw them dump the puck in either try and ring it around the boards or I mean, there was the one in particular. I guess they tried to shoot it over Mike Smith, over top of the net, and he just grabbed it down, put it on a stick, and fired it to the length.
You can't do it. You just can't do it against a goalie like that. I mean, and the weird part is, it's not as if they didn't know it.
Well,
you got to
put it
soft point,
into the corner. That's Andrew, where you go for the Jets against the Oilers if you're dumping it in. Soft and into the corner.
Andrew, to your point, if we know it, they should know it. You'd think that they would know it. And again, Mike Smith is, it's funny because we talked about it and we said he seems to be sipping from the fountain of youth because his numbers are only going to improve with a shutout over the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah. But like, and again, he was good. He made some really nice saves. You know, there weren't a ton of great, you know, chances, the one great A, but overall, but he was good when he needed to be, and which wasn't often, but he was good. And again, like I said, the Jets didn't game plan for what they needed to do against the Oilers. And they just, look, you can be pissed off about the four penalties in a row. And some of the calls were, I thought, you know, the Pionk one, I thought they were really just battling. I don't know if that's necessarily a penalty. And so you can be upset with the penalty calls, but at the end of the day, the Jets didn't take advantage when they had the power play. Their power play stunk, I actually thought. I don't think their power play has been particularly good. And so, like, it just looked discombobulated. I mean, the Oilers had, I think, the best chance on the power play. I joked. I said it was like fire wagon hockey, for God's sakes, watching that power play. And the Oilers had some of the best chances. So again, like, I don't think anybody really, I mean, Logan Stanley did not have a good game. There's another player who I thought had just an awful game.
His first period, he got better as the game went on, but as you know, I was watching the first period while I was still with my kids and, you know, doing both. And, you know, there
was
a little
daddy bath time.
Yeah, my kids were actually bathing me is what was happening there instead of the other way around. It's a fun family event on a Saturday night in the Mandel household.
They wash him with a rag on a stick.
That's right, everybody. But, I mean, the glaring mistake after glaring mistake after glaring mistake for Logan Stanley. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, he didn't play on Thursday in Toronto, so
they took him out of his rhythm. They took him out of the rhythm.
I mean, you know, was it a confidence issue? Was it just a rough night at the office? I mean, I guess the only good thing, I guess, from the Jets' perspective is that everybody was so bad for the most part that you can basically just burn the video without having or deleting the video. I guess it is 2021 after all. You just delete it from the hard drive and you don't really have to do much of an in-depth analysis of the effort because there was nothing good about the Jets' performance tonight. And you saw that really throughout all three periods. So I guess they were consistently bad all game long, which is, I guess, something to say.
Right. And I really don't think there's any other word to use aside from disappointing, right? Like, and we take no pleasure in this, guys. Like, Mark Scheifele is having a Hart Trophy like season. I mean, he was excellent against the Leafs last game. What do you have, 3 points or 4 points? So, like, it's not like, you know, we're happy to say this. And it's not like anybody is saying that Scheifele isn't a great hockey player, but he wasn't good tonight. Like, anybody that was watching that game can't make excuses for that. You can't make excuses for the way the Jets played. And I really don't think that this is like a microcosm of something bigger. Like, I think when the Jets come back from their 4 days off and they play Toronto, I mean, there's a really good chance they come back with a much better effort and they win the game. And then we'll forget about this one. But this was a bad one. And I think what we won't forget is how the Oilers have owned the Jets this year. Like, that's right. It's not like, you know, this has been, and there have been one goal games. Don't get me wrong. There was the late, you know, Leon Draisaitl goal. That was a killer. But these last three games, I forget if the Jets have lost the last three or last four against Edmonton. Might be four. But
well, certainly the two in Edmonton that were the first two back-to-back losses on the season, and now this one for sure.
Yeah, and those games, I mean, they were close games, but, you know, Edmonton was the better team, and Connor McDavid was clearly the best player. And I thought, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl were clearly the best players. And you know, I thought, I mentioned earlier, like, I thought Darnell Nurse looked really good. Tyson Barrie obviously looked really dangerous on the power play, scoring that goal. Alex Chiasson, a guy that, you know, you don't expect to be on the score sheet every night, but he looked good on the power play and he got the goal in the third period. So, I mean, this Oilers team, they're not going anywhere, right? Like, we know that they're locked into second or third. You know, they have a slim chance at catching Toronto. They do have the games in hand, but like we said earlier, the Jets are going to have to figure this out, guys. Like, this team is most likely who they're going to match up against. So they're going to have to watch the video. They're going to have to, you know, figure out how they come out and they start these games better at home after a road trip, because I agree with both of you. I mean, it's clearly tough when you're on a long road trip, whether it's five games, seven games, whatever. But you can maybe say that about one period, like you said, Drew, but you can't say that, you know, that's the reason why you were bad for three periods.
Four straight losses now by the Jets to the Edmonton Oilers. If you go back to, what's that? February 17th, the Jets lost 3-2 to the Oilers. The game before that, February 15th, they won 6-5, but it's now four straight losses from the Jets to the Edmonton Oilers. So to your point, Dave, I think that puts maybe a little bit extra emphasis on those final two games of this homestand against when the Jets will play the Oilers after they face the Leafs the two times. You know, if you lose six in a row to a team, you don't want to ever go, you know, down losing six in a row to a team, because then it becomes something almost between your ears that this team has my number, this team has our number. And the Jets certainly don't want that thought creeping into their head ahead of what looks like more day by day, a first round playoff matchup against this Edmonton Oilers team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And that's why I pointed it out pretty much off the hop of this broadcast, is that this is a team that you can't, again, look, first, let's be realistic. The Jets are going to flush this. They're not practicing tomorrow. They have a day off tomorrow. They'll be back at practice on Monday. You're going to have Blake Wheeler come back into the lineup most likely on Thursday when they play the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I think there's going to be, you know, and there's a lot of focus, because, you know, now you've got to focus on the Leafs and the battle with them, and they're, you know, the Leafs are going to be looking for a little revenge based on what the Jets did to them last game. The Jets can be looking for a little redemption based on how they played this game. So it's setting itself up to be a good game next Thursday between the Jets and the Leafs. But look, the Jets are going to get a chance to rest up, heal, get some guys feeling healthy again, get their legs back. No excuses, right? You don't have any excuses. The reality is, and people might not like it, and I really don't really care, because I don't care one way or another. The truth is, you've put yourself into a good position. Now, Drew said this, these games don't matter. Now, again, you can't just turn things on and off. You can't just be like, you know, we want to start playing playoff hockey, because you need to create offense. And, you know, the Jets just didn't do enough to create offense. And that's something the coaching staff has to figure out. And again, they created a lot of offense the last game, right? It's not a function of not being able to do it. They were able to do it. But to your point, they haven't done a tremendous, they obviously have a 6-5 game against Edmonton. Don't know that you're going to see a lot of those in the playoffs. So you have to be able to win the 1-0 or 3-2, 2-1 games against this Oilers team. And that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to game plan. That falls on the coach. I mean, again, this is a total team loss. I don't really Connor Hellebuyck wasn't bad, so I wouldn't really hang it on him. I thought he was excellent making, like you said, all those breakaway stops. But like other than Connor Hellebuyck, and maybe Tucker Pullman had a decent
game. Tucker Pullman had a good, decent game. But again, Tucker Pullman or the Jets' fourth line, I mean, they're not the catalyst.
No, that's my point. But I would say, like, again, like I would hang it on Paul Maurice. I didn't think he, you know, got his team going the way they needed to get going. And hang it on the players that needed to get this team. You know, you're paid $6-7 million. You need to score goals. That's what you do, you know? And again, you don't like to isolate, but like Kyle Connor on that goal, like going after McDavid, I don't care that it was, look, you can pick out a play happening by a giveaway earlier, but it doesn't diminish the fact that you had an assignment in front of the net that you left Puliarvi wide open.
They weren't in a bad position. Until Connor vacated the front of the net, they weren't in a bad position.
Because they had, it was one-on-one with McDavid. And then, like I said, and then Connor does what he does. So again, we could go through the entire team and hang something on every single one of these players, most likely, because as it was a total, in my mind, it was a total team effort. And to your point, and I think you said this earlier, it's probably one of those games where you're happy that everybody stunk for the most part, except for your goaltender. And like I said, one or two other players, and you just give it a team loss and then you move on.
Ezzy, hold your thoughts. Got to pay some bills. When we come back, more on the Jets' defeat at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers. You're listening, you're watching, you're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Post-game podcast, but that's not right. The post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers, too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whitened my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal. Starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Saturday night, little past 9 o'clock is the hour. Not sure what everyone else is tipping back. I got some bourbon in here, but I'm enjoying it after that contest. And, of course, the email I got from Kentucky, as I referenced off the top of the broadcast.
So you're drinking now because I opened that up a couple of nights ago, right? I had that Corona. I guess that was last weekend.
That was last Saturday.
I guess we're just going to turn this into, beer and
bourbon. Well, it is 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. I think that
just think about this though, guys.
Yeah,
we could be talking about this stinker of a game
at 11:45.
At 11:45, because the game was supposed to be starting 5 minutes ago. So thankfully for us, the NHL flexed it and moved it up to 6 o'clock, because I would not want to be talking about this game at 11. Well, I mean, I wouldn't really care, actually, but yeah,
in
theory,
you're a night owl.
Yeah, I wouldn't really bother. Dave,
this game could have started at like 10:30 and we still would have come on.
Well, of course. I mean, that I'm not suggesting otherwise, Ezzy. I'm just saying for our older friend, Drew Mandel.
I want to get my hands on some of that bourbon, Drew. I might have to drive over there.
Yeah, as the authorities have made perfectly clear, you're not allowed within 100 yards of my residence.
I thought it was 200, but okay.
Well, you know what? It might be 300 if you keep talking. But in any event, interesting note from our buddy Joe Pascucci on Twitter, pointing out that Pierre-Luc Dubois didn't play the last 5 minutes and 14 seconds of tonight's contest. Now, I don't know. I don't think that was anything injury related. I think
he was actually benched by Torts.
He was benched. Tortorella called and had him benched. I think, you know, combination of all the factors of tonight's game. I wouldn't read too much into that, but just a bad night for the Winnipeg Jets. Really, top to bottom, it was a lousy night. With Logan Stanley's struggles tonight, does that open the door for Ville Heinola to get back in the lineup on Thursday? Or do you think that was going to happen almost anyways, given Heinola's performance against the Leafs this past Thursday, given some of the other comments that we've previously heard from Paul Maurice about the Leafs maybe being a good opponent to get Heinola into a game? So, you know, in terms of lineup changes, could you see that happening for Thursday night's Leafs-Jets game?
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about it on this morning show, right? We talked about that idea of a rotation, and we don't know if it's, you know, one game in, one game out, but the idea is that, you know, Maurice wants to get in Heinola in a certain amount of games, right, guys? So yeah, I think there's a good chance you'll see Heinola in against the Leafs. We just saw him against the Leafs and he was pretty good. And, you know, I realized, you know, there were some mistakes and Stanley took the puck over the glass penalty. I didn't think he was, you know, that bad. Like don't get me wrong, he wasn't great, but I don't necessarily know that I would say, you know, he was bad. But yeah, I don't think the way he played tonight will be the reason why he comes out. I think it will be because Maurice had the intention of putting Heinola back in anyways. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely going to be interesting to see, guys, because, you know, Drew made this point on the morning show too. I mean, I think it would be interesting to see Heinola and Ben, because we all agree that there's a good chance that Ben will be used on the right side if he does get into games, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, right, you know, Heinola-Ben is a very interesting pair to me, right? Like, you've got a guy that can obviously skate and create a little bit offensively, and then Ben is your kind of veteran stay-at-home defenseman, right, Dave? So I think it'll be interesting to see if maybe Jordy Ben gets into that game on Thursday against Toronto.
Yeah, I think that Logan Stanley would come out, and I don't think he's coming out because he had a particularly bad game, but I think he's coming out because Paul Maurice has talked about that idea of platooning, and I think that he wants to get Ville Heinola in games. He's probably going to want to get Jordy Ben in games. What that looks like, I don't know, because will he do a rotation with those three, or will he actually do a double swap? I don't know that I'm going to see him doing a double swap on Thursday against the Leafs. I could see him just swapping in Heinola or Ben. Probably Ben, to be honest with you, just to give him, or maybe it's tough. He'll have had a few days.
Pullman played well tonight, though.
No, I'm not pulling Pullman out because, like, I'm just saying that I could see him throwing Ben in just to kind of get him going because, you know, Heinola played. When was the last time Ben played hockey? Like the Canucks
probably
haven't played
a month.
That's what I mean. Canucks haven't played in close to three weeks. So the point is that he hasn't played in a long time, and You're, depending on what you think you're going to be, how you're going to be configured, maybe you want to get Jordy Ben in. Again, it doesn't really matter, but I know my guess is for sure you're going to see a swap on Thursday. Well, first of all, you're going to see Blake Wheeler come in, which likely means Jansen Harkins comes out. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have, my prediction would be Logan Stanley come out, and you're going to have Ville Heinola, I would think, come in because he played well, and then maybe give Jordy Ben the next game, depending on how things go against the Jets.
I'm assuming that when Ben comes into the lineup between now and the start of the playoffs, just to get some games under his belt, I'm assuming it's going to be on the right side. Just because I know he can play both sides, but let's assume that it's not an injury function, and you know, and everything else injury wise is equal. You know, this is a guy who's been more successful playing on his right side. The Jets have enough options on their left side that I don't know why Ben coming on the left side would be the decision that the Jets coaching staff would make. It wouldn't seem illogical to me that the left side would be where it is, even though that's his quote unquote, you know, that should be his stronger side based on how he shoots and everything. But, you know, his career is long enough now. There's a big enough sample size to know that he's a better right side defenseman than he is a left.
That's
side
like Sammy Niku, right? Yep. Same thing with Sammy Niku. Shoots left, but he prefers to be a right side defenseman.
Right, and you know, getting back to this kind of idea of having this kind of rotation of Heinola, Stanley, and then you want to get Ben into some games. I would imagine, you know, Heinola is going to get into more games. I think you guys would agree with that than Ben. But I think that, you know, you're talking about once you're into the playoffs, if Ben's going to get into the lineup, it's most likely going to be for Tucker Poolman. That would be the logical choice, right? Like, so if Poolman's struggling, let's say in a series against the Oilers, Ben is a guy that you would put into the lineup. And on the left side, if Logan Stanley's struggling and you want, you know, more of an offensive element, more of a puck moving element, then you're going to put Heinola in. And that just is logical based on, you know, who the Jets have on their depth chart, right? Like Morrissey forward or 1-2 on the left side. And then you've got Pionk and DeMello who are your top two defensemen on the right side. Right. So I think that's how you have to look at this, right? Like, you're going to see Ben get into some games. How many games is he going to get into? I don't know. It could be two, could be three, could be four. And then I imagine, I said this on this morning show, I think Heinola, you would probably hope, gets into at least half of the remaining games.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like would make good sense to me, Ezzy. But, you know, it's sort of, you know, Paul Maurice, week ago, 2 weeks ago, talked about sort of after the road trip that he wants to start getting into his groove for the playoffs. Now, you know, for the forwards, they can probably get into that groove because Wheeler's going to come back on Thursday, barring something unforeseen. It's the defensemen that are now a little bit in flux, I would say, which is not something we've had for a long time because it's been sort of the six that the Jets have had for so long have been the six that they've used night in and night out. So it's sort of, you know, Freaky Friday sort of style, bizarro world, that it's now the defense that's a little bit up in the air, whereas it's the forwards are pretty consistent, Dave.
Yeah, I just want to answer D. Konopoli because he asked me a question about Dylan Sandberg. Sandberg is not hurt. He's back practicing with the Moose. So he didn't play the last series. The Moose play next Thursday. They start their final series against Stockton. So I wouldn't, if you're wondering, because you think he may be an option for the Jets to call up, I wouldn't go there because he needs to get into games and hasn't played in a little while since that series against Laval. So he's healthy. David Gustafson's healthy, but you wouldn't count on Dylan Sandberg because he's just coming back from an injury that cost him four games. Drew. So get back to what was your question? I was reading.
My comment was just about how
I didn't want to interrupt. I saw T. Kona Pauly. I had to answer that question.
I was in T. Kona recently picking up something for my kids.
Were you at the Whistle Pig?
T. Kona. Yeah. Wasn't at the Whistle Pig.
Okay.
Fair enough. I want to know what you were picking up. Was it the trampoline from this morning?
No, that was a gift for my dad. We were picking up. It was like a game for my daughter.
Yeah, a nice little game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Drew. So go on. What was the question again?
My question was just, my comment was about how it's sort of topsy-turvy now that it's the defense that's sort of going through uncertainty in terms of the roster alignment, whereas it's the forwards are now sort of, you know, Paul Maurice was talking about getting the forwards ready to go for come playoff time.
But I wouldn't be so concerned about that. These guys have enough muscle memory now together that it's pretty comfortable in terms of the pairings. And they've all played together. So I to me, that's not such a concern. You really just have to get these forward lines set and playing. And that to me is the what you really need to have them rolling. And again, to the point we've talked about, you got to beat the Leafs, you got to beat the Oilers. Those are the you know, the two teams that you're likely gonna face in a playoff series or two. So to me, you're going to really need to start following, trying to beat those guys. And that's why you want to have your forward lines grooving and working.
Let's go to Winnipeg Jets head coach, Paul Maurice. These are his post-game comments from a short time ago.
Sure.
Okay. So that clearly didn't work tonight. Minor technical difficulties. It looks like Paul Maurice is unfortunately buffering.
I really enjoyed those comments from Paul Maurice. Ezzy, you're muted.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing. That was a great post-game presser.
Yeah,
he said a lot. There's a lot of value there. Very
Why don't we talk about what he might have said?
Well, I know what he said already. I was following it on Twitter, and he was sort of talking about how now that you're into the home stretch of the season and you're into the final 10 or so games before the end of the regular season, it's going to be harder to get goals. That's what he was saying a lot, that, you know, the goals are going to be fewer and far between, that they're going to have to come from the dirty areas more often, and they're going to be more playoff style goals than they are going to be some of the looser goals that we've seen in the course of this regular season. So that's
I got to break in here. Tico Napoli just gave me the brutal news. The whistle pig is no more. Ezzy, no more whistle pig.
And more importantly, Drew, like, Maurice's comments are one thing, but yeah, you have this to is, just, you know, give a little rest in peace to the whistle pig.
Dave is not a guy who enjoys the pig. He's not a man who enjoys what's called treif, unkosher food.
That's
so
true.
I'm surprised that Dave is a aficionado of a place called the Whistle Pig.
I'm not, but I once had a meeting in Transcona at the Whistle Pig. So that's a
and it was actually me talking and, about and actually,
hold on. Yeah, it was a meeting about a little venture called Illegal Procedure.
Wow. Going back in the Illegal Curve
Nobody's
archives.
Nobody's
going
to know what you're talking about, Dave.
No.
We briefly had, in fact, the website is still up, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think so. I never renewed it.
Oh, it's gone now? We briefly had a Bombers-related website called Illegal Procedure.
We contemplated, I would say. More than we had.
Contemplated would be a better word for it than formerly had, but clearly it did not. As much as I love the Bombers, and regrettably, Ezzy and I used to be season ticket holders together, there just wasn't the same appetite for Bomber news like there is sitting here at 20 after 9 on a Saturday night as people are slightly apoplectic about a Winnipeg Jets defeat at the hands of the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, the good news is we've
got a little bourbon for Illegal Procedure and the Whistle Pig.
I'm not pouring out any bourbon. I'll pour it down my throat, but that's about as far as the pouring will go.
Well, let's get some likes on this video, because even though people are upset with the Jets, let's hope they're not upset with us. We're trying to give you the straight goods here on tonight's Illegal Curve post game show. So give us some likes on that. And Dave, how would you compare Stanley to Sandberg as they currently play? Interesting question.
Question for the Moose Insider. Let me read it out. So,
go ahead.
Dave, how would you compare Logan Stanley to Dylan Sandberg as they currently play? Similar level, Stanley ahead, or Dylan Sandberg ahead?
Well, I mean, I would say Stanley ahead, because he's got a lot more pro experience. And you can play at the college level, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not pro hockey. And he's, again, like I said to a lot of people, Dylan Sandberg is where he needs to be, which is at the AHL, learning under Pascal Vincent, Eric Dubois, and allowed to make errors that if you make them in the NHL, you're going to be benched. So I don't think he's the guy you're looking towards as a call up right now. I mean, on the left side, you don't really need him because you've got Ville Heinola anyways. So the truth is that Dylan Sandberg, my mind was that Dylan Sandberg was always going to be in the AHL. He may get called up when the Moose season is over, but I mean, he will get called up. He'll be a black ace for sure. But I think like Dylan Sandberg is a guy you're going to rely on maybe next year, but for sure starting, the year after that.
There you go, Dave Minuk. If you have more questions for us about the Moose, about what you saw tonight, about anything to do,
hit us with questions.
Put them into the chat. We'll be good. We'll this will be our version of open phones. We don't have phones because
we don't have
good
phones.
Yeah, no phones, and there's not going to be any callers. But you guys can be the callers in the chat. You guys and you y'all, I should say, rather than be gender specific. Put them into the chat. We'll put them up on the screen as we get the next couple of minutes here before we throw everybody over to our buddies Kenny and Rennie. They're going to start the post game show in about 5 minutes. Time. So again, so nice to see so many of you on this Saturday night. You're watching, you're chatting, you're listening to the Illegal Curve post game show. I am Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg is down below us. Nice to see so many of you. Guys, it's an easy game for the Jets to flush. And I think that is the, as disappointing of the effort as it was, as disappointing as the as everything was. Okay, can I personally handle the Oilers in a playoff series? No, I have no time. I have no chance of personally handling the Oilers in a playoff series.
Drew, do you want me to read that?
Drew, I think that bourbon is starting to hit you. Because
yeah,
can the Jets
handle the Oilers in a playoff series? Yes. Okay.
Have a drink, Drew.
Thank you. I will. Look, I don't think that they can't handle them. The Oilers in the playoffs, you know, if they are similar to the Oilers that were in the play-in series last year, where they somehow managed to lose to a Chicago Blackhawks team that had no business, you know, qualifying for the playoffs, as much as that is in quotes. Yeah, I don't believe that the Jets have no chance at all against the Oilers. Do I think the Jets and the Oilers, if they played each other, you know, seven times, it's probably, you know, a seven-game series? Probably. If they played each other, you know, 11 times, is it an 11-game series? Probably. I think they're two very evenly matched teams, but I really don't understand the idea of matching up Mark Scheifele's line against McDavid's line. I think that is a absolute win for the Oilers, simply because Scheifele can't handle McDavid and Draisaitl defensively, and then you're taking, you know, probably, you know, the Jet, one of the Jets' best offensive lines, and they're playing in their own zone for, you know, 60 to 90 seconds at a time.
Yeah,
to me, that's an absolute disaster for the Jets.
No, I agree. That's not the matchup you want, Drew. And I think we got to see Pierre-Luc Dubois move back to center, guys. And I'm not saying that it's at the expense of Paul Stastny, because we've talked about this for how long on the Saturday morning show and on the post-game show, right? Like, ideally, you want to see Scheifele, Dubois, Stastny, and Lowry up the middle, right? Like, just lock that in, and you've got, you know, the center depth to go up against any team. And I think that's the big issue here. And I realize Wheeler being out of the lineup, guys, like, that throws a dent in Maurice's plans, right? Because he was hesitant to move Stastny to the middle before Wheeler went down with the concussion, right? And so I just think there's something that's just not right with Dubois on the wing right now. It's just not working. And I think Dubois is that guy, Drew, that you want to shut down the McDavid line. Like, we saw what he did to the Auston Matthews line, Mitch Marner line, right? Like, so I think, you know, as soon as Wheeler comes back, and maybe even if Wheeler doesn't come back for Thursday night's game, Dubois has to move back to the middle, or might move back to the middle, I should say. But yeah, I mean, there are matchup issues here. I mean, if you're able to shut McDavid down, and it doesn't necessarily mean that McDavid and Draisaitl are going to be on the top line. It's possible that we see Draisaitl move down to the second line as the center, right? But that's always the option that you have, to put those two together with Puljujarvi. That's, you know, what I said today was, like, that's a super line, and they were really good tonight. And so, yeah, I agree. I think the Jets can beat the Oilers in a seven-game series, but if they play like they did tonight, they have no chance.
If they play like they played tonight, they can't beat anybody in a seven-game series. They were just that bad. So, I mean, which is, you know, again, what we talked about. It's just that it's almost easier being that bad all across the board. You can flush the game. And I think these next 4 days off are going to be huge for the Winnipeg Jets. I do think that this is a huge opportunity at this point of the season, after playing so much hockey in such a short period of time, to get a break where you don't have to play a game, and it's going to be a full off day tomorrow. And I would not be surprised if there's another off day built in between, you know, Monday and Thursday, if they have another day off the ice, or just have an opportunity to just breathe a little bit almost, and get away from the, you know, every second day that it's been for a long time. I think it's going to be an advantage for this team, and they're going to look back at this 4 days off, you know, if they make a playoff run, and that could very well be the catalyst for their success moving forward. Next question on the screen: how close is David Gustafson to being a regular with the Winnipeg Jets? For that, we turn to our Moose Insider.
Well, it'll be a quick one, because David Gustafson, also like Dylan Sandberg, coming back from injury, he missed the four games against Belleville Senators. Four games, the last three of which the Moose won quite nicely, actually. Well, there were some really interesting games, but David Gustafson is back. He's practicing. He was, I think, the winner of the Moose 3-on-3 tournament. He and Christian Reichel, I think, were the winners of that 3-on-3. I don't know who the third winner was.
Do you have that covered? Do you have that covered for a website called
illegalcurve.com? I do not. Okay. I do not, because I was doing a little thing called our show today, plus a few other things. So I tried to get outside, get a little vitamin D myself, because, you know, we've been inside doing so much hockey lately. But so David Gustafson, I think, is an excellent player. He will be there. We had Pascal Vincent on our Saturday show maybe a month ago, I think, or not quite a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And he talked about the things people should go and listen to. It's on our YouTube channel. If you type in Pascal Vincent, he gives a phenomenal breakdown of all the draft picks, way better than I could ever do, of what they need to do, where they're at. He talked about Vesalainen. He talked about Gustafson. He talked about Sandberg. He talked about Perfetti. he gives you such a good insight as to what these guys are right now and the areas they need to work on to get their game to the next level, the things they're working on with them at the AHL level. So David Gustin, I think, is going to be an excellent NHLer. I think he could make the jump if he needed to. There's things in his game that he'll still continue to develop that Pascal Vincent talked about, the agility, that sort of thing, the elements that he's adding to his game. But I, from what we saw over in Sweden to what he's seen in the game, 10 games, I think now that he's played for the Moose, he's looked like he's on that trajectory. He's looked very good in my mind. I've been a big, you know, fan of what he's been able to do on the ice. So I think he's a guy who you're going to look towards again, probably next year, not this year, because unless there's injuries, if there's injuries, you'll see him. But if there's not, you're not going to see him until next season.
And on that note, when I do that, that means it's time to wrap it up. Kenny and Rennie have started, so we encourage everybody to head on over to the Kenny and Rennie YouTube channel. The post-game show is underway for additional Jets talk. Maybe we'll start doing this on a regular basis, sort of, you know, wrap the show up with some questions from our loyal viewers. So, you know, we'll try this going forward. A nice little experiment to see if there's an appetite for it. And, you know, it's not calls, but it's, you know, the next best thing. And then in some arguments, it's a lot better than calls. So we appreciate all the contributions from everybody who's joined us this morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, who've joined us tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're next back in action Thursday night, of course, as the Jets and the Maple Leafs will do battle. The post-game show for Thursday night's game, it's a 7 o'clock start, if I'm not mistaken, on Thursday night. So the post-game show will be right around that 9:30, 9:35 mark, somewhere in around there. But of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'll find out every time we go live, because you'll get alerted when we go live. And we appreciate everybody's support as we continue with this new venture, as they say. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Boston Pizza, and who did I miss out there? Did I say Bernstein's Deli? Maybe Bernstein's Deli. I may have missed somebody else. That's okay.
Bullet Bourbon, I think, is what you were thinking of, Drew.
It's exhaustion more than bourbon, I got to be perfectly honest. I'm ready for bed. I'm tired, boys.
Just let everybody know that, well, or maybe you won't, because I'm going to right now, that we will have all the Jets media availability with Paul Maurice and the players on a little site called thelegalcurve.com. I should have that up in the next 10 minutes. As long as mine and Ezzy's post-game wrap-up show doesn't go too long.
What people don't know is that after the post-game show ends, I get the hell out of here as quickly as humanly possible. Dave and Ezzy continue talking to each other for, I don't know, some ungodly reason, because they haven't spent quite enough time together virtually, at least over the internet. But that is certainly between them. And if they want to start broadcasting that, well, may God have mercy on all of our souls. And on that note, for Dave Manouk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Thursday night, right around the 9:30, 9:40 mark, we wish you good night and good luck. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.